Ducks fans, are you ready? You are listening to the Ducks and Pucks podcast. This is the number one home for Anaheim Ducks talk and analysis. Here we go.
Welcome to the show. This is your host, Mike Walters, along with my co-host, Eddie Richard. And we are back after a little bit of a week time off. To talk about the Ducks, they had their road trip where they won two games and lost two games. So we'll go over that. We're going to talk about Elliot Freeman and his comments. Of course, the comments had to come out right after we recorded the last show. So some of you commented to me about that and were like, hey, they released this news right after you recorded. Yes, it happens frequently. So we'll talk about that first. As I mentioned, we'll talk about the road trip. Tons of team news, including trade rumors galore. I'm kind of tired of it, but there's trade rumors everywhere, so we're going to address some of those. All kinds of league news as well that we're going to discuss of things that have happened recently. So lots of good stuff on the show. It should be probably a long one, but we'll do things a little bit differently this time. The first segment, we'll talk about Elliot Freeman, because that's what chronologically happened after the last show. When we recorded and then posted it, the Ducks went on the road trip. They did play Chicago first, and we'll talk about it. But the Elliot Freeman comments came out that same day of that game, Eddie, and I'll read the quote here and we can kind of talk about it. But on his show on Sportsnet, he said, "The Ducks have let it be known that they have cash and cap space. They're willing to listen to you if you wanted to use them to help you clean up your cap problem. However, it's going to cost you good young assets." So I thought this was kind of interesting, Eddie, when it came out. It's not a new idea, right, in the NHL. We've seen teams do it before, like Carolina and Arizona. But what was your kind of initial reaction, Eddie? Because this is something, you know, we've seen Murray take bad contracts, but to advertise, hey, I'm going to take a big bad contract, you know, just give me some good draft picks or young players. I thought that was kind of interesting for this to kind of be, like, advertised publicly.
I like this approach. I mentioned it on the last show when we went through our league news talking about how Kovalchuk and the Kings weren't going to, you know, play anymore, and they decided not to have him play. I joked and mentioned, like, hey, we'll have the Kings trade over Kovalchuk for the to the Ducks, but throw us some draft picks or some prospects. So I guess the Ducks listened to the show. They thought it was a good idea or something. But no, I think this is a smart thing to do. We're in that rebuilding mode. We're trying to get better, and we're not trying to just go out there and sign big names and have it blow up in our face like teams like New Jersey, what they're facing, all the crap that's going on over there. So I do like this approach. Now, I don't know if they're going to be able to do that or if teams are willing to just throw out some assets just to get rid of some contracts. I was listening to the Spit and Chicklets podcast, and they talked about David Backes, and there was some interest, a rumored interest that, you know, they wanted to send Backes over to the Ducks, but the Ducks were asking way too much from Boston to, you know, to take that contract. So it's going to be interesting to see come trade deadline if any moves happen and if the Ducks can get some, you know, some draft picks and some prospects and take a bad contract. And who knows, you know, like, just one of those things can happen where they take a bad contract and that player just starts blossoming and, you know, plays decent for Anaheim. And so that'd be like pretty much a win-win there for the Ducks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point that you bring up. When that news came out by Elliot Freeman, I wrote an article on it. If you haven't read it, go back in there. I'm going to talk a little bit about it here, as Eddie has mentioned too, in terms of like who the Ducks could look at. As he mentioned, Boston is one of them. They did send Backes down on waivers. He cleared the waivers. Obviously, their intent is to move him. He's got a $6 million deal this year and next year is what they're looking at. And a no trade clause, so there's some of that they got to go through too and some of those hurdles. But that is one team to look at. Obviously, as Eddie said, Spit and Chicklets, they talked about it. They verified that the Ducks have been talking to Boston. A couple other teams to look at. One of them would be Buffalo. We mentioned this on the show a couple times before. Actually, Eddie brought it up. But Bogosian has requested a trade. His cap is or salary is $5.1 million. He is a UFA next season, so he will be a rental. I don't know if that's someone the Ducks would go after, because since he's a rental, they may not get, you know, a good return on that. But again, keep an eye on him around the league. You know, maybe move to another team if not the Ducks. Another team I mentioned in the article is Philadelphia. They've got Van Riemsdyk on the team. He's got $7 million for the next 4 years. He's only got 13 goals this season. Kind of underperforming. Someone to watch. Another reason is because you remember he was linked to trade rumors with the Ducks before in the past. Another name, less likely, maybe Kevin Hayes. He's locked in just recently at $7.1 million for the next 6 years, and he's got 14 goals this year. So he's not performing as well. But he's been just recently resigned, so maybe not as likely. Another one is Vegas, Alex Tuch, $4.7 million for the next 6 years, and he's only got 6 goals this season. So these are some of the ones that I mentioned on there. I did have Toronto in the article originally. We'll talk about them later in the show because obviously some injuries and things happened to them, so they're not in a tight cap situation. But these teams are all in tight cap situations right now. So these are some of the players that are somewhat maybe not performing up to the team standard that could be moved. Maybe Anaheim, maybe not. As Eddie said, we know Anaheim and Boston have been talking. But what do you think, Eddie? I mean, there's some of these teams on here. If the Ducks are going to try and make a move, they could talk to some of these guys that, you know, they're in a tight cap situation, but, you know, they're trying to make a push. They want to do, you know, better come playoff time. They want to pick up somebody maybe at the trade deadline and unload one of these players. Any of these interest you or any other teams out there that you would think that, hey, maybe the Ducks will talk to them and see if they unload somebody on us?
Well, definitely if we can get the right package deal to come our way and to benefit us, then yeah, of course. I know some of these contracts look ridiculous. That JVR one for $7 million for the next 4 years, that just looks like hell on earth. But if we could snag a few prospects and some higher draft picks from them, okay, you know what, cool, we'll suck it up. We pretty much paid, you know, to take care of a problem and to add a solution to the come to Ducks way. I want to throw out another name too. I doubt this is not going to happen, but New Jersey's Corey Schneider. He has a big contract still left, and he's been underperforming, and they brought him back up, and he still hasn't really played up to par. I'm not sure if they're willing to unload him, but New Jersey's doing bad, and they're going to have some higher draft picks, so that could be a possibility if the Ducks want to go that route and try to talk to them about it, especially if we're in, you know, this little rebuild phase. But like I said, it's some of these contracts look really scary, and when these contracts were signed, with the exception of the Hayes contract, I'm sure there was, you know, they didn't expect these players to really just dip down that low and kind of like below their standards. So it's just, it's going to be interesting to see. I know if any of these trades happen with these players, I know some fans are going to flip out, but you just have to wait, you know, and see what package that we can actually get back in return, because all that matters is making the Ducks better for the future.
Exactly, and that's why I'm all for this, if they can pull this off and do it. And in terms of like money and whatnot, the Ducks can do this. They do have the money. I wrote about it in that article, again, if you didn't read it. But looking at the Ducks' cap space right now, if you look on Cap Friendly, they sent a handful of players down, and we'll talk about later in the show, but it looks like the Ducks had, you know, a little bit more in cap space right now. But they're going to obviously recall some of them after the league break and the All-Star break. So the Ducks roughly have about $5 million in salary cap right now, and then that's not including Kessler and Eves, right? You can add in the LTIR of another $10 million. So the Ducks have a good chunk of change that they can work with this season to try to do something and move someone around, pick somebody up, and again, they may make some other trades as well to compensate for that. But the one thing that Eddie and I did talk about is looking at next season in regards to the LTIR. If Kessler does not come back next season, which it kind of looks like that way, if you haven't been following him, he's not even living in California anymore right now. There's a good chance he probably isn't going to come back next year. But if he doesn't, the Ducks can put him on that LTIR and they can get back $6.8 million. The problem, though, for next season for Anaheim is, and this is the part Eddie and I did not like with the buyout of Corey Perry, is this season the Ducks are paying him $2.6 million. Next year, it jumps to $6.6 million. So if Kessler's out and they were paying Perry this money, I mean, it's a wash. There's not any wiggle room really in there. It's unfortunate. And that's why we had talked about the Ducks trying to hold on to Perry, you know, this season and do a buyout if they could. But that's something to consider. Also, Patrick Eves, you know, he's not coming back next year. He's not coming back at all, as far as we know, based upon what I talked to him earlier in the season. So the Ducks do have 13 UFAs and RFAs that are rostered, equaling about $13 million. Eaves is $3 million in there, so they're going to get a little portion of that back next season. So they'll have another $3 million basically next year because Perry and Kessler are going to cancel each other out unless Kessler comes back to play. Again, a lot of moving parts in this. This is just on what we know now. Obviously, after the trade deadline, some stuff's going to move. Some things are going to change. And then, of course, at the end of the season, Murray has to do what he, you know, as all GMs have to do. He has to decide on which UFAs he's going to let go or try and bring back. Same thing with RFAs. Is he going to do a qualifying offer? How is he going to work those out? So there's a lot. This is just kind of a snapshot of what's going on. And the whole point of this is that the Ducks can do this, and I think it would benefit them, Eddie. It's just really a question of will Murray do it? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And what really hurts the most and really to kind of bothers me and ticks me off is we knew what not to expect this upcoming season, and we knew what the season was supposed to be. Why jump on and buy Perry out last? Like, why was it so important to buy him out? You didn't go out and grab anyone significant to replace him to a top caliber player. So now we're just kind of stuck with that contract next season when he could have easily bought him out after this season. Or they could have made a trade and retained some salary or something. It just that Perry thing's going to come back and kind of like bite us in the butt.
Yeah, that's the big issue. I mean, it goes down to $2 million the 2 years after next season. But 6.6, that's a lot next year paying him to do nothing. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's crazy. I don't.
They're paying him to play against us or them. That's what they're doing. Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. And I don't understand the CBA when it comes to like this money kind of stuff. I don't know how this whole thing worked out. I don't know why it was in the $2 million, you know, for three of the years, and then next year it's the crazy amount. But it's unfortunate because it's going to put the Ducks kind of in a bind a little bit, especially if Kessler doesn't come back, because it's just going to wash each other out. There's not really going to be any extra there. So, like I said, the only benefit is that Eve's contract will come off to get another $3 million. So, even with that though, they still could do it. Like we said. They have about $15 million now in cap space. There's other things that can change. Like we said, we still got trade deadline. You still got free agency too. So there is wiggle room. The question is, will they do it? And that's what I talked about in the article. And we'll go into a little bit more after we talk about the road trip. There's just all kinds of trade rumors flying like crazy. I'm actually really sick of it, but I want to talk about it because it's all over the internet. So all that news came out. Ducks were on the road trip. They had four games. They went in to Chicago and they lost this game. Not really a good game for the Ducks. I mean, they started out with a goal with Max Jones early on. Jonathan Toews got a goal. They got a couple goals in the second period. The Ducks in this game and the St. Louis game, really, that was after this, they played poorly in the second period and that did them in. They got down 3-1. Raquel did get an early goal in the third, but Alimata got one back, and the Ducks ended up losing this one 4-2. But overall, I didn't really like this game, Eddie. I mean, the Ducks did outshoot the Blackhawks, but I just felt like after the first period, they went kind of flat.
They were just watching the Blackhawks. Like they were just I don't know, because recently the league announced that the Blackhawks were like the decade team or the team's decade or whatever. The Ducks were in awe. But the first two goals the Hawks scored, it's like, yes, you get Branson there just kind of skating and watching Toews take a shot. Second goal that was scored, and they're just kind of like moving the puck around. Everyone's just watching and gliding and turning. No one's going after the puck. No one's making that effort. No one's trying to block a shot, throw your body up. They're just, all they did was just stood around and watched. And that's what really got frustrating. And especially like a team like Chicago, yeah, they're having a decent second half of the season. But they're still not one of those teams where they could easily blow away the Ducks. They're just as bad with, you know, the older guys and their contracts, and they're struggling too, which sometimes with their goaltending, minus Leonard right now playing pretty decent. But it's just frustrating when you see plays like that. You just watch the Ducks like, hey, what are you doing? Just watching, like, that's one of the frustrating things about it, just not having them move their legs and not attempt to do anything. Just sitting there and pretty much let them score goals on Gibson.
Yeah, that was the second period, really, that was bad. I mean, they got outshot 17-9 in that period. And like you said, the defense wasn't really helping out. The Ducks, they did try to rally in the third. Like I said, Raquel did get that goal in there, but it just wasn't enough. And it was just disappointing. You know, they started out fine. Jones had that goal, and then like we said, Taves got one, and then they kind of just faded away in the second period, got behind the eight ball there, and this never really got, you know, they got chances in the third period, but I didn't really think they got that many dangerous chances to try to, get really back in this. They were down by two, and like we've talked about all season, when the Ducks get down by two or more goals, it just seems like they have a hard time really trying to rally, Eddie.
Oh, yeah, and that fourth goal that was scored from the point, that was just kind of, that's probably the only thing that wasn't the Ducks' fault. It was a shot from the point, and just one of those unfortunate bounces. The goalie didn't see anything, but I gave up. By that time, the Ducks were already playing flat-footed and just kind of watching. So, I mean, the Ducks initially kind of sealed their own fate by the way they were playing.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it wasn't a good start to the road trip. And then after they played Chicago, they went into St. Louis. And you thought, okay, well, they beat St. Louis, before. But, of course, we had Derek Grant. Grant was still out. And the Ducks, this one, I think, out of all the games, was the worst one. First period was kind of even, 1-1. Comtois getting a goal in there. And again, the second period, the Ducks went down. They gave up an early goal to Bozak, gave up another one on the power play, and they just got down. And then, of course, the worst play of probably the entire season, which we made a video and a GIF of it, was Gibson and Lindholm crashing into each other, and then the easy score there for the Blues in the third period. And they ended up winning this game 4-1. And, I mean, after the second period, this game was just – it was just all downhill. They gave up 22 shots in the second period in this game. And, I mean, it's just crazy. They got outshot 29-16 after the first period. So this game was even worse than the Chicago game, Eddie.
Yeah, in the first period it was okay. Both teams were kind of, it was just kind of filling each other out. They weren't really, like I didn't notice anything that significant from either team. And then come the second period, the Ducks just, I guess they saw St. Louis not playing that well, so they wanted to just do them one under and play even worse. But yeah, after that one goal when Lindholm and Gibson crashed into each other, like I was just like, I almost shut the game off because like, all right, you know what? That's exactly how the season's going. And of course, a game like this that happens, and there's like not anything good going to come from it. And it just that really just sums up the, I guess that sums up the Duck season for us just so far.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we said. It summed it up in a nutshell. And I mean, at this point, it was bad. I mean, the Ducks got outshot, 34-21 in this game. They had a couple power play chances in the third period and didn't convert, which was unfortunate. And they're at a four-game losing streak. So, I mean, all kinds of craziness going on. This road trip, you're like, they got two more games before the break. Like, really, what are these guys going to do? A lot of people are down on them. And after we talk about the next couple of games, we'll talk about all the trade nonsense because all the rumors getting going even more after, the way that the Ducks were losing. So this game, not a good game at all. Unfortunate that they both these games, Chicago and St. Louis, I really thought that they played good in the first 20 minutes. And after that, it was just kind of, they just didn't play as well. It's kind of like the old Ducks, the years before, Eddie.
Yeah, it's just a different period now. I mean, before we had a problem with the first period, they were playing good in the second, and these last few games, and they're playing decent the first period, and they don't show up the second period. And I get it, we're dropping down in the standings, which is going to be good come, to get a better draft pick. But I do want to see just a little bit more effort from the boys and skate. If they're going to lose games, at least go out and make a game out of it. Don't just look like you're intentionally just trying to like tank and glide away, because that's embarrassing. Like, at least have some little bit of pride in the professional player you are.
Yeah, and that's what happened in the next two games. The Ducks turned it on. So you had Nashville and Carolina, and you're like, okay, they're going to play these two games. They already lost the other two. You're kind of thinking, how's this going to go, right? Yeah, they go to Nashville and Carolina, and they just win both those games. It's just what we expected, right? So all of you out there that are hoping for the tank, you're probably upset because that's not what happened in these two games. But, the Nashville one, you got back Grant. He got off the IR. You got back Silverberg. The Ducks had sent Lundstrom and Comtois down to San Diego. They had to make room. Obviously, the roster was full. And the Ducks played a good game in this one. They had Manson scored in the beginning, his first goal of the season. Henrique scored on the power play. You had Raquel getting another goal. Grant coming back, right, with a shorthanded goal. I mean, the Ducks were up, 4-1 early in the third period. Nashville gets their own shorthanded goal too late in the game, which didn't really matter. And the Ducks, you know, they got outshot, but I mean, they dominated in the faceoff circle. They had a power play goal, a shorthanded goal. Yeah, they gave up a shorthanded as well. But overall, the Ducks played a decent game, and they sent the Preds fans home early, Eddie.
Oh, yeah. I think someone tweeted out the Carrie Underwood about the fans. and like, where the hell were they? I think other fans, too, were posting pictures and of the Predators and how empty their stadium was. And there's no word from Carrie Underwood and her, you know, being the fan ambassador or whatever the hell she is. But I guess it was an overall good game. It was Manson's first goal in his last 77 games he's played. He came down just kind of activated from the point. And no one picked him up. He got the puck, scores. It's like, cool. And then, boom, we go up 2-0. It's just, you felt that energy. It's going to be, you know, like that type of game again. Nashville gets one back. Okay, you're starting to worry. Second period comes. No, it's all the Ducks. And then when Grant scores, it's like, when Grant scored that goal, yeah, there's no way we're losing this game. There's no, it just, the power of Grant. He's been our Lord and Savior. Sorry, Gibson's, you know, Lord Gibson's not here anymore. It's Derek Grant's been our one. So usually, if good things happen when Grant's on the ice, we're usually going to win the game. So it was good to see him explode in the speed he did to get that breakaway. It just made it look like he was a Connor McDavid kind of player. Nathan MacKinnon just easily tucked it between the goalie's legs, and boom, that's kind of sealed the deal for the Ducks right there.
Yeah, that was a great play. You know what I like, too, is I like Henrique's goal when it looked like the pads of Saros had closed and had the puck, and then the puck was sitting right behind him, and Henrique comes in right behind him and just taps it in. I mean, it was awesome. You know, it was a good play by Adam to stay with it and score. So that was a huge play, too, and on the power play to give the Ducks that two-goal lead early. So that was another key moment, I think, was that. And then, like you said, the Grant goal in there. So, you know, the Ducks playing back-to-back games, they win this one, and you're like, okay, well, we got Silverberg and Grant back. All right, they're playing back-to-back. You had Gibson and Nett for this one, and then you had Miller and Nett for the one against Carolina. And you're thinking, okay, well, they're playing Carolina, another good team. You know, what's going to happen? You know, I don't know. And, you know, the Ducks come out and they actually play a good game again, and they win this game. And we talk about goals and whatnot. This game, the Ducks got down 1-0 early. Gudbranson got a goal in the first period to tie it up. No other scoring until the overtime when Sam Steele got the game winner. The Ducks won this one 2-1, Eddie. And if you didn't watch the game, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, the Ducks won in overtime. Yeah, 2-1, whoop-de-doo. But no, the Ducks played really well in the second half of this game. I really thought that they had a chance to break this one wide open. You know, they outshot Carolina 24-10 after the first period. And they had chances galore. Even Steele had a chance to get the go-ahead goal in the third period and missed it. And then, of course, redeemed himself in overtime. So I felt, even though the Ducks won this one 2-1, I mean, other than the faceoff circle, I thought the Ducks played awesome overall in this game and you know, earned back-to-back wins for the first time since November 1st.
Oh, yeah, that was good to head into this break. It didn't really help the Hurricanes' case that they lost their all-star defenseman, Dougie Hamilton. It's been having a monstrous season. He's out, and he's done for the season. So that's an unfortunate break for them, a little bit of a break for the Ducks. I don't know if it would have been that easy to beat them. In the beginning of the game, you can see, you know, the fatigue there for the Ducks. They just weren't really moving their legs, but then all of a sudden they just snapped out of it, and they exposed that second back-to-back from the Hurricanes, and they exposed them. They were all over them. And just, yeah, you see the score 2-1, like, okay, whatever. No, it was a really good game. The Ducks played some great, fundamental, sound hockey, and they were just all over the Hurricanes. It just, the Ducks did not seem like they played the night before. They see had more jump and energy to their game. You had Gabranson score, similar to what Manson did in the last game, where he just activates from the point, goes in, and easily gets that goal and sets the tone right there, too, after Aho just scored. So it was an overall fun game. And what's funny about that game, too, is I believe it was Sam Steele that scored at the end. in overtime, but then they the NHL messed up and said Sam Steele scored on Ryan Miller. Then Ryan Miller's wife went ahead and retweeted that. I think that was that was pretty funny. But yeah, it was a really fun game. We got some extra hockey out of it, and the Ducks got a really good win, and we got a good laugh after, you know, a little mistake that the NHL did. So it was all fun, and overall was a really good game. Probably one of my favorite games of the month to watch.
Yeah, I was laughing after the game because you made that post about, oh, the Ducks traded Ryan Miller to Carolina as Sam Steele gets the game winner on Ryan Miller. And I was like, I didn't even see that. And then when you posted it and showed me, I was like, what the hell? And I started cracking up. I was like, oh, okay. And I guess I know some people
were like, thought it was a trade.
Right.
It's like, and we had to like clarify that, but that was just funny. And then his wife goes and she retweets that, so that was pretty funny.
Oh yeah, that was hilarious. And I guess some of the fans went to the Nashville game, some went to the Carolina game. And they said even at the Carolina game, I guess they said Silverberg scored the goal when they were at the game. The announcer said that originally. So you had that mess up, and then you had the website mess up with Steele scoring on Miller. I mean, that's just hilarious. But these are some good games. You know, the Ducks played better in both. They had better puck possession. They limited the turnovers. You also saw Dallas Eakins kind of mixing some things up here with the defensive pairings and whatnot, changing some things up. And I thought it worked well, and it was great. I mean, the Ducks going into the league break and going into the All-Star break, because the Ducks have both together. That's why there's no games for a while, in case you were wondering. And it's good. I mean, it's mixed feelings, I guess. If you want them to win and feel good, you're happy. If you're the fan that's like, let's go for the tank and get the draft pick, then you're not happy. But I can tell you right now, I mean, the players don't want to tank. So nobody wants to tank if you're on the team.
No, not intentionally. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, not intentionally. The players don't. You know, administration or whatever, I don't know. But I know the players don't. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed thing there, depending on what side of the fence you're on, if you're looking at the draft and where you want to go.
Well, even as a fan too, because yeah, I do want a higher draft pick, but then I don't want to sit here and watch these games with the intention in my mind like, oh, I hope they lose. Like, I just don't understand like what kind of fan I'd be if I just sit there and hoping for that. Like, yeah, I do want the higher draft pick, but you know, I do want to watch a game where they play well and they win too. So I guess it's kind of like a double thing for me. It's really weird. But like my whole thing is win or lose, I want them just to play decent hockey and not just skate around or just, you know, glide around and watch people pretty much put pucks in the back of their net. I do want a little bit of like momentum from them and a little bit of pride. Yeah, you know, teams are better than you. You're probably not going to, you know, do anything significant, but I still want to see some good, decent hockey.
No, I agree with you. You want to at least see them be competitive, you know, and I just think some of the fans have a feeling that, hey, if you lose this game, I'm not going to stress out about it. You know, let's go towards the draft and whatnot. And I get that, but certain teams like Nashville, I want the Ducks to beat Nashville. You know, San Jose, LA, you know, I don't want the Ducks to lose those teams. I don't care if the Ducks are the worst team in the league. You know, you don't want them to lose those, right, Eddie?
The Wild?
No, that's yours,
I definitely
yeah.
I don't want them to lose to the Wild.
Yeah, you don't like them, so...
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I feel. I mean, we know that this season, they're not going to make the playoffs. And if they somehow, by a miracle, squeaked in, they're not going to go far. We all understand that. That's not, you know, rocket science or anything. But at the same time, you still want to see competitive hockey. You don't want to see them go out there and just lay down and, you know, play like crap. So it was good to see them win these last couple games before the break, as now we're a little bit more than halfway through the season. So with that, we'll go into kind of the next part where we'll talk about the team, give some updates on that and all kinds of trade rumors. I do want to mention on this podcast, I do want to dedicate this one to my Uncle Jim. As you all know, my mom passed away on New Year's Eve. Well, my uncle passed away this week too as well, and he was a big Ducks fan as well. So a lot of stuff going on in my family, unfortunately, and other people too. I know Eddie's been affected with other things, and other friends of mine too, with bad situations this month. I just want to dedicate this show to him. Yeah, it's pretty close to him as well, so it's unfortunate. He had some things happen in his life that caused, you know, some suffering and whatnot, and thankfully he's not anymore, but it's unfortunate because when I had my mom's ceremony this last Saturday, I found out the same day about my uncle only given, a real short time to live. So just been rough, but gonna dedicate it to him, and the show must go on, Eddie. Like you and I talk about, we talk about, you know, the Wolf of Wall Street. The show must go on. So we're still gonna keep on doing what we're doing. Just I hope you send a little prayer for my family. I appreciate it. And you know, just gotta keep pushing. That's all we can really do. And the one thing I just tell everybody is, you know, love everybody that you're with. You just never know when it may be the last time. So if you have any kind of issue with anybody, resolve it. And just remember, it's a privilege to be here every day, right, Eddie?
Exactly. You never know. Like, when is it? When's your last time? When's the last time you're going to say bye or hi to someone? So just cherish that. And even it made me kind of soul search with everything that's going on with you, Mike, and then myself. And then I know there's a lot of other people that I've been talking to in January is just not really going their way. But it kind of makes me want to just be like that better person and appreciate the things I have every day. And yeah, it's a little rough for a lot myself, for you, of course, Mike, and a lot of other people. But I like to think that the hardest things happen to the strongest people, because you know, we're able to take it. And you know what? It's just there's only one way up to go from down. So I just, you know, everyone out there, too, you can keep your head up. And thank you for the prayers for Mike's family and all the support and stuff that you guys give us. And you know, we just want to, you know, let you know, too, if there's anything going on in your life, feel free to reach out to any of us. So we're always available to talk if you need it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you got something going on, I've had a few people reach out to me and tell me about their situations. And I'm more than happy to, you know, whatever, if it's to go out to get a bite to eat, to grab a beer or whatever, or just to, you know, cry or hug it out. I mean, I'm there for that. I totally get it. I understand. I mean, that's life, and that's the way things have gone, unfortunately. So, like I said, you got to at some point keep going, you know, and I know everybody handles things differently. So I'm not judging anybody in any way, but for me, I got to keep going. I can't sit around and wilt away. So that's kind of the way that I look at it. And this, fortunately, doing all this stuff with the hockey stuff and all the support that I've gotten, you know, from Eddie, other people on the staff here, and everything else has been just tremendous. So I appreciate it as well. So with that, we'll get to the second half of the show, and plenty of stuff to talk about with the team going on lately. All kinds of news, and then obviously we'll get to the league news to wrap up the show. But as far as the team's going, some updates here, some good news on the injury front. We know Troy Terry was activated off the IR. He was sent down to San Diego on a conditioning loan, and the word on the street is that he should be back after the league and All-Star break. Obviously, you know, Silverberg came back. Grant also came back right before. The only player left really is Richie that's on the IR, but he is practicing, and word is that he should be back soon too. So lots of good things there with the Ducks as far as, you know, injuries and getting back players and being healthy and whatnot. And they did make a couple roster moves before this break. Nothing to be too worried about. I saw some people were kind of stressing out, but they sent DeLeo, Sprong, and Jones down to San Diego. Again, it's the league and All-Star break. They want those guys to get in some practice and playing time, so that's why they were sent down. And Blake Pelletila, he was recalled. It's pretty much a paper transaction. I know a lot of people are asking, well, why did they bring up Blake? The thing is the roster on the Ducks, you know, in every NHL team, you've got to have a minimum of 20 players. So when the Ducks had sent down DeLeo, Sprong, and Jones, they had 19. So they had to have somebody on there to make it 20. So that's all that is. And then, of course, like I said, when the break gets closer to ending, you'll see the Ducks recall some players and things will go back to normal. So nothing really big there, Eddie, in terms of roster moves and things like that. But, you know, a good thing if you're a Ducks fan is, you know, you're getting most of the guys are back and healthy.
Yeah, that's always a positive, stuff like that. As far as Nick Ritchie, I'm looking forward to see what he's going to bring. I mentioned in the last show, like, we haven't really missed him, but I don't know. You know, he does bring that physical element to the game that I like, and let's see if he can produce some more offense and be a better player and transition to the caliber of player that we expect him to be. If not, then get enough value to maybe make a trade. And I still think a trade of scenery for him would do just. It just hasn't really worked out in Anaheim. So I'm looking forward to see what he brings back when he comes back off from injury. And also Troy Terry. Troy Terry is just one of those players, you just see the flashes of talent and greatness in him. You're just wondering when is this going to all blossom together and be consistent. Because he's an all-around sound. He's a great player, but then he's just not consistent. But he's still young. He's still finding his game. And I think once he gets that stride, he's really 100% comfortable at the NHL level. Like he's going to do some damage. He's definitely going to be a top six player. So he just watching some of the games I've had this season, he's just a great player to watch. So I'm looking forward to seeing him just get his confidence back and him get back in the lineup, and hopefully we can see some more consistency and he can build off that to be that player that, you know, we all think he should be able to be.
Yeah, exactly. And he has been producing since he's been back in San Diego, so hopefully he can do it in Anaheim as well. Now, as far as trade rumors...
Well, okay, but one thing to do about trade rumors, guys, if you read something, use it as a reference, fact check it. If you're on Twitter and you see Bob McKenzie's name, go on the website, click and make sure it's blue verified Bob McKenzie, not these people that live in their mother's basements that create fake accounts just to troll people because their mom's not cooking their hot pockets hot enough or something, so they're mad at life. So just make sure you fact checked it, and like whatever you hear us post or say, we usually, you know, fact check 2, 3, 4 times and make sure it's, you know, it's solid before we post it out, or we let you know like, oh, it's not verified, but we've heard this from numerous people. So just wanted to throw that out there. Just I know trade deadline is coming up and it's gonna get crazy. You're gonna see some names everywhere. So
it's already gotten crazy, Eddie. I'm over it. I just every day I look at the internet or social media and I see someone's name on there and I'm just tired of it, honestly. And I see people throwing out names on there It's just ridiculous. But on the last couple shows, we did talk about Silverberg. So, you know, that one has been thrown out there. We beat that to a dead horse. If you want to know what we think about Silverberg, you can listen to the last two shows we talked about him. So all that's on there. And I'm not going to mention all the names on here because it's just ridiculous. These are the ones that have basically come up lately. The biggest ones, basically, are Manson, Gibson, and Getzlaf. Those are the three that I've seen out there lately. We'll kind of take them one by one. The big one with Manson is basically because of the news in Toronto. So I had Toronto back on my article about Elliot Freeman trying to shed some cap space. Of course, since then, they lost Jake Muzzin and Morgan Riley, and now they're in a bind defensively. So they're out there looking for top defensemen to fill those holes. Of course, the first thing I see out there is, oh, Manson. Everyone's talking about trading Manson to Toronto. And I'm just like, okay, right, sure. So just talking about the situation here, he has a modified no-trade clause. The rules for his is that he has to submit a 12-team no-trade list. And the way it looks is, I get why some people are saying to trade him. He had a decent season in the beginning. He got hurt. He came back. His analytic numbers aren't as good if you look at them as far as like the goals for and against and different puck possession numbers when it's him by himself or paired with Lindholm. They're not as good as they used to be. They're below 50%, which, as we've talked about before, and any of those analytical numbers, you want to be more than 50% because that means your team has the better chance to score or to produce goals, depending on whichever stat you're looking at. And for him, when he's by himself or with Lindholm, it's below that. So that's why some people are like, okay, he's not doing as well. He could be one to, you know, go over there to Toronto to trade him. My concern with the Ducks doing that is on, you know, right defense. I mean, if you're going to trade him, then who are you going to get to replace? I mean, that's your guy. The Ducks, that's not really the Ducks' strong point. So for me, I'm not saying they won't trade him, Eddie, but it's just like if you're going to trade him, then okay, then what are you going to do now? There's going to be a gaping hole, in my opinion, on that side of the blue line.
No, definitely. And I agree with you, too. And also his value. Like, what do you expect to get back for him? Are you expecting to get a player of his caliber? No, because it'd make no sense for a team to make a trade like that. He has a decent cap hit. It's like $4.1 million. he's on that right side. If he could just play with that more physical edge he's done in the past, I think that's how it brings his game better when he plays with that edge. He did come off that injury, and he hasn't really been performing as of late. Last couple seasons, it's kind of like declined, but I mean, hopefully that goal he scored and he starts getting more comfortable and activates and increase that physicality too. Because once he plays with that edge, like players, they definitely keep their heads up and they watch him and they make those dumb mistakes. They prematurely pass the puck and give it up. And I think that's when he plays the most effective. But I mean, as far as trading Manson right now, it doesn't make sense at all. Like, unless you're really going to get a team, and I'll keep saying this because it's true for any player, unless you're really going to get a team that's going to significantly overpay for his services, then yeah, but there's not going to be a team that's going to give, you know, pretty much that overpayment for Josh Manson.
Yeah, I don't see it. I know some people out there are saying, oh, Manson will get a first-round pick. I don't know about that. Not like you said, not with the way he's playing right now. I don't know. In the beginning of the season? Sure. Right now, that's a little tough to push. I mean, you could try that. I mean, I don't know. Second or third rounder, sure. First round, I don't know. I just, it's kind of tough right now. But some people think that he's worth that much and that they can trade him for that. I mean, if you can get another team to pay that, then maybe you do look at that. But I don't know. I don't see that happening.
I'll pass with that. I'd rather keep Manson.
Yeah, I'm with you too. I mean, unless it's going to be a ridiculous overpayment. The other name I've seen out there is Gibson getting thrown around. And again, this one I don't see happening either. I'm not really sure why people think the Ducks would trade Gibson. You know, right now they've got him signed to the $6.4 million, you know, over the next seven seasons. And I guess that depends on where you are on the side of the fence. I still see people arguing about Anderson and Gibson, unfortunately, online. I'm not really sure why. I mean, just let it go, dudes. Like, I don't know why we're even talking about that, but some people will still talk about that part, and they're upset about Gibson being on the team, and they think we should add Anderson and whatnot, you know. And then there's other people that think Gibson is just terrible, and I just don't see it happening. I mean, my thing again is kind of goes to the similar situation with Manson. Okay, if you get rid of Gibson, who's the Ducks goalie going to be? That means you're going to ride out Miller the rest of the season, or they would have to make a trade for another goalie for Gibson. So unless another team has a goalie that's, you know, similar and is going to add something, I just don't see Murray really moving Gibson. If anything, I would see him more likely moving Miller. Obviously, he's got the hurdle with the modified no trade clause, but this is it for him this year. I mean, he's a UFA next season. So, I mean, unless he signs an extension with their team, Miller would be a rental as well. So, I mean, there's pluses and minuses to trying to move Miller. I just don't see Gibson. I've seen some people talking about, and they think that the Ducks can get a lot for him. That's true. They could, but I just don't know if someone's going to take him on for that contract for that length amount of time, and then for Murray to do that and then not have anybody run the team. Because, I mean, who are you going to bring up? I mean, yeah, we've got Dostal coming up and a few others, but, I mean, are some of these other guys ready to carry the team next season? I just don't know. I just don't see it. I don't know. What do you think, Eddie?
No, I don't see it either at all. If this were to happen, it'd be a full rebuild. Gibson's his cap hit's decent. Yeah, it goes a little too long, but the amount he's making for the caliber of the goaltender he is, it's a great contract. And if that trade were to happen, we'd get a huge, huge return for him. But it's just, if we trade him, we're in full rebuild mode. Now we're in search of a talented elite goalie. And those are really hard to come by. It's just, they're so unpredictable. You can't just kind of pick someone off the draft and be like, hey, you're going to be our number one goalie. It doesn't work that way. You never know what you're pretty much going to get with goaltenders at times. I go back to the New York Islanders. Rick DiPietro that signed that big contract, supposed to be the next great one, and he just was plagued with injuries, and they're still paying him. They're still paying for him on the books. So just things like that, I can't see it happening. Yeah, I know you're going to see a lot of names being thrown out. I'm pretty sure that Murray's getting phone calls on these players, that they talk a lot or whatever, and they're just always picking each other's brains and seeing who's available. I just don't see it unless it's just – it's going to be a full-on rebuild. We're just, you know, we're going to have to trade. And, you know, if it goes to that direction, then, I mean, say goodbye to Silverberg and Oliver, like Adam Henrique and players like that, because if we're willing to trade Gibson and go that route of a full rebuild, then why not trade the other, you know, assets that we have to bring in draft picks or prospect players? So it's just, it's one of those things right now. Goalies are hot, and people are looking for goalies. I know New York Rangers, Georgiev, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. He's like probably the top goalie right now, projected to be moved. So, I mean, it's not going to be Gibson. It's going to be Georgiev. That's probably going to get moved as far as goaltenders. But it's just, it's not going to happen. And I would pass on that too right now, because it's not the right time to make those kind of moves.
Yeah, and you talk about phone calls, and there's the NHL Rumors website had said that there's phone calls coming into Murray on Getzlaff. And I know that website, you know, you look at it, it's kind of iffy. A lot of times I would say they're more wrong than right. But my sources on my end have confirmed that Murray has been getting phone calls on Getzlaff. So that part is going on. So as you talked about, he is getting calls. He's getting calls on Gibson and Getzlaff, I've heard. But here's the other thing about that. I don't even like to bring it up. I only bring it up because it's been put out there on this website. I've seen a few other places too mention it. But here's the thing. GMs call other GMs to ask about players all the damn time. It happens throughout the whole season, and then it intensifies up until the trade deadline. That's just common sense. So when I see people put out these articles saying, well, they're getting phone calls on players. Yeah, no shit, they're getting calls on these players. That's what happens all the time. The only question is are they getting a lot or are they getting a little? The GMs, you know, come December, January, they're starting to strategize. Am I rebuilding my team? Am I trying to make the playoffs? Am I trying to make a cup run? That's what's going on. The phone calls are going around. That's what happens. So the latest one, like I said, is Getzlaff, which, I mean, okay. And they're saying that, you know, like you said, another, if that happens, is another full rebuild. But you got to look at Getzlaff. He's got a full no movement clause. I mean, he'd have to agree to anything that they're going to do. And I just really don't see this happening either. I mean, unless he's like mad that Perry's gone now or something, and he's like, I'm going to uproot my whole family from SoCal to go somewhere else. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a tough call. I just really don't see, you know, Manson is kind of iffy, I guess, but Gibson and Getzlaff, I just don't really see these guys getting traded come the trade deadline, Eddie.
No, I think if maybe Getzlaff wanted to be traded and he made that, you know, make that known, that's something different. Out of respect for everything he's done for the organization, I would hope that Murray would actually try to, you know, to get that done for him. But he has one more year at that 8.25 cap hit, and it just doesn't seem like you said, he's just to up and move all his family just to make a cup run. He has a cup already. I can't see him wanting to do that. And also, if we do the trade Getzlaff, there's no team that's going to take that full cap hit, so we're going to end up having to eat some salary on it. So it still doesn't really make that sense. I think Getzlaff, he's playing really well this season, and he's a good leader. He's probably one of the best captains in the league. And I think we need that for our younger guys and to help them develop and kind of mature. And it's kind of like him leading by example. So once he's over with and done playing for the Ducks, like, they had that good leader to look up to. I think he brings that aspect to the game well, too. Like, he's not slumping. He's making good plays. He's shooting the puck a little bit more. He's overall having a good season. I don't want to see him gone. I hope he just stays put. If he wants to go, I'll respect that. It's business, and if he does want to go for another cup run, that's his business, and he has every right to. But I can't see him and our Gibson going anywhere. Like, maybe Manson, like you said too. Like, if we had to pick one player, we think that would go. We're not saying that he's gonna go for sure, but if we had to pick one, yeah, I'd probably agree with you and say Manson too. But you were mentioning too about GMs calling each other about players. GMs call each other about players that aren't even on their team that they used to play for. They are GMs that used to coach them and things like that. So they're always talking to each other. They see each other when they go and scout the teams. You know, they go and have dinner, and it's not they're just like, you know, rivals and they hate each other. Then they call to talk about trades. No, they talk about other players. Like, hey, for example, I remember you had this guy in Anaheim. He's in this team now. What do you think about him?
Exactly.
So it's they're always talking. It's not just, it's a big secret to anyone. And yeah, that website, I like it when they actually put their sources and when they actually quote like the analysts. That's cool. But when you just say, "Oh, my sources are," we heard they're getting phone calls. Hey, come on, you can just say that about anything. I can say like, "Hey, I heard that Brian or Murray's getting phone calls about trading McDavid to the Ducks." I can just say some craziness like that and get everyone into a frenzy. So just exercise a little bit more caution when you're online and verify. And just, you know, hit Google up or hit one of us up. Ask us if we heard anything. Because a few people will shoot me a DM or say, like, "Hey, I heard about this. Did you heard anything?" And I'll check that. I'll end up writing Mike and I'm like, "No, we haven't heard anything." Or, "Oh, yeah, we heard something. We'll talk about it on the next show." Or we'll write something up about it. So
yeah, and like I said, I heard on my own end that Murray's getting calls on players. And I don't even like to bring that up. The only reason why I'm bringing it up on the show is because this thing came out on their website just to kind of address it. Yeah, I hear that too, and I'm sure other people do. It's not a big secret that, GMs talk to each other. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. It just irritates me when people, I don't care if they don't list the source. I know you do, Eddie. That doesn't bother me as much, but I hate when they put something on there that's just common sense. That's what it is. And the only reason, like I said, I bring it up is because they brought it up. So yeah, it's out there, no shit. So whatever. I mean, I'm getting a little irritated, but that's just how I feel. And then I see people run with this stuff. And I see people share the article and they think it's the gospel. Well, dude, come on. Think a little bit. The trade deadline's coming up. Do you really think GMs don't call each other? Okay? I mean, so I'm done. I'll get off.
It's only going to get worse.
Yeah, I know. And I hate it because the Ducks are doing poorly and they're in rebuild. And then obviously everyone's going to call Murray because they're going to see if there's a fire sale going on in Anaheim. I'm not surprised by that, but it just cracks me up when people get so riled up because I've had people sending me things going, "Oh my God, they're saying this, they're saying that, they're saying that." And I'm like, yes, of course they're saying that. That the Ducks are in that position and the trade deadline's coming up. It's a recipe for Murray's phone to be going off the hook right now. Hello, you know? So we asked you guys though, what you guys thought on Facebook about the Ducks trading people. And unfortunately on Facebook, the way the poll system works there is you can only put two answers on there. Like Twitter, you can put, I think, three or four, something like that. So four. So on Facebook, I just threw it out there. Like, who do you think is going to get traded? Because I just want to see what people would think. And it was kind of interesting. So the answers that you guys threw out there were, you know, all over the place. But the players that you guys thought would get traded, or at least the Ducks would try to trade, were Delzato, Gabranson, Holzer, Rowney, Shore, and the number one leader was Richie. A lot of people said Richie on there. But there were also a good portion of you that said nobody. You don't think Murray's going to do anything, and some of you were venting going off about Murray and the trade deadline and how he doesn't do shit, which I'm not going to even argue with you on that because the last couple years, that's how it's been. Murray makes moves, and the Ducks are one of the teams that make a lot of moves come trade deadline, but they don't make a lot of big moves. That's the thing. So, I mean, that's what I'm kind of looking at too, is everyone's all hyped up, freaked out about what's going on right now. Like we said, because trade deadline, the Ducks are doing poorly, Elliot Freeman comes out, you know, all this stuff. And I get it. But it just seems like every year come trade deadline for the last few years, we've been disappointed, Eddie. We sit there and go, okay, the Ducks are going to do something. They're going to do something. And they do a few little things here and there, but there's nothing really that significant. So to me, when we're looking at all this stuff, whether it's trading a big name player, taking on a contract, or moving stuff around, I don't think it's necessarily a fire sale for sure in Anaheim, but I think there are a lot of players that could be moved. We've talked about it on the show. I think a lot of the ones that you guys mentioned, I think any one of those players can be moved. Delzato, Gabranson, Holzer, Richie, Rowney, Shore, I think any of them can be moved. The other ones I mentioned, too, and Eddie mentioned, was Kasha. And I know some of you are going to roll your eyes or probably, you know, try to break your phone while I mention his name. But he was the one that was confirmed that Murray was trying to trade earlier in the year. So you have that. That's why I throw him in there. Sprong is the other one because, you know, he's been benched at times and other players have been called up at times. So I don't think it's a complete fire sale in Anaheim going on right now, but I definitely think that some of these guys can be moved, Eddie. I just don't think it's going to be some of those big names that you and I talked about earlier.
And I don't, I think this is the first year I probably wouldn't want anything to happen. The years before, I got really frustrated because I wanted Murray to go out there and make our team better for the playoffs, for a cup run. And some of the moves he made were just really minor and really questionable moves those years that we were playoff bound. And he didn't really try to do anything to make the Ducks go over that limit like other teams have. Yeah, I know. You're going to pay a little bit more, but it just to have that extra push, you never know if you could have added another top four defender, or a top six guy, or top nine guy, if that could have made a difference, if that guy could have caught fire and maybe scored a goal or two that could have kept us in a round or could have kept us in a game, and we could have went a little bit further. You just never know. But with him, he just didn't really seemed to make those moves to try to better the team, and instead he usually made his move come like early November, mid December. He made that one significant move those last two seasons. As far as this season, I don't really want to see those big names, and I don't want to see a big old fire sale. I mean, yeah, if you're not going to utilize players like Sprong or Shore or Rowney, Delzato, if you don't have a future with them, why not try to send them and get a little bit in return for him? Like, those players, you're not going to get a significant amount. You're not going to go get a second or third, round draft pick. Definitely not a first, so get that out of your head right now. But you can get some kind of return for those players, especially if you want to add, take on a bad contract of one of their players too, and boom, and you can get even maybe get a third or second or something of significant. But I mean, that's all I want to see just come trade deadline. If he doesn't really do anything, I mean, we're used to it. It's not really going to affect the team one way or another. I mean, yeah, I want to see at least get a return for players that we're not going to bring back, or that they're not going to have a future, that are going to help the Ducks. But if he doesn't do anything this upcoming trade deadline, I guess it saves us some talking time and writing time when we do these articles and stuff.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I mean, we're going to have another article coming out about all these players. I already talked to Thomas about this. He's going to have one covering who he thinks the Ducks might trade and might not trade, so kind of be a follow-up to this. He may have a little bit different perspective than what Eddie and I are talking about, but I think if Murray's going to do anything, I would think that he would take on a bad contract, like Eddie said, and maybe move out a role player on the team and try and get some draft picks or things like that. That's what I think he would go more towards, as opposed to trading a Gibson, Getzlaf, or even like a Lindholm or anything. I just don't see them kind of doing those things. I think he would go more towards that.
Or Grant. I don't want Grant gone. Grant's like my Wagner.
I know. And you know what? He watch, he'll get traded.
he'll get traded for like I'm not going to bring the Wagner thing up. Let's move on from that.
The Wagner trade still irritated me too. So, but I could see him doing something like that, moving one of these other guys that's more a role player type, taking on some kind of contract, getting some picks and things like that. I to me, that's more likely of the scenarios that I would see he does. But I mean, if he goes crazy and he goes full rebuild and trades away a big name player, then I mean, wow, we'll have a lot to talk about. I just don't think it's gonna happen. That's what the way I see it. Another thing, and we'll kind of switch gears and talk about league news that I don't see happening, is Dallas Eakins getting replaced. On my birthday, the news of Gallant getting fired out of Las Vegas came out, Eddie. And you and I had seen this too. This is another thing. We talk about what we see on the internet, social media, and things going on. And while the Ducks have been doing, poorly, obviously they won the last two games, but we've seen people talking about Dallas Eakins. And they're like, oh, the Ducks should get rid of Dallas Eakins. The team's not doing well, and yada, yada, yada. Well, did you really expect the team to do well this year? We already knew it was a rebuild. We just didn't know what gear the rebuild was going to be in. Was it going to be in second or third gear, or are we going into overdrive? Right now, we're kind of in second and third. We really haven't gone, farther over yet, which we could come trade deadline. So that news came out, and decided to make a poll question just to kind of see what people thought, because I had seen it brewing for a couple days and even a week or so about people talking about Dallas Eakins, and then with the Gallant news, it went full-fledged. But I was happy to see, because sometimes these poll questions go away, I think, and other times they don't. But on Facebook, 70% of you said, no, keep Dallas Eakins, we don't want Gallant. And then obviously 30% said, bring in Gallant. Twitter, we did, I did three categories just because I knew people would get kind of like, what the hell's going on with this? But we did the hire Gallant, keep Eakins, or we did the WTF because I knew people were going to look at the poll and be like, what the fuck are you doing with this poll? That's why I put it out there, because I figured people were going to look at this and go, it's crazy. But similar numbers, just broken up differently. You had 30-something percent said hire Gallant, 50% said keep Eakins, and then 20-something percent said WTF. So basically, 70-something percent were saying keep Eakins. Why the hell are you asking this question? So, I mean, it was very, very similar. So, I'm happy because sometimes we put out these polls, Eddie, and I don't know what the result's going to be. And this one was more what I thought. I was hoping a majority of people would say keep Dallas Eakins because he's only been coached for half a season. He's not the problem with this team. So if you're upset with the way the Ducks are doing and you're thinking, oh, well, let's change the coach. No. If this happened last season when Carlisle was still there and Gallant got booted, then yeah, now we have a conversation. Who would you bring in, Gallant or Eakins? Last year, I could totally see that. But right now, no. Let Eakins do his thing. He's been in the system. He's built a lot of these players up. The Ducks are in this rebuild mode. They're trying to figure this stuff out. Eddie and I have been critical of him at certain times and certain little things, but he has changed it up. He started challenging plays, changing up the defense, things that Eddie and I talked about he wasn't doing earlier in the season. So for me, that's another part I don't – it's just ludicrous. They're not gonna do anything with the coaching situation. I mean, if they brought in Gallant as an assistant, that would be cool, but I highly doubt he wants that because he was the head coach. So that's just my whole two cents on that issue. It came up, and I was just annoyed. It was on my birthday, Eddie. I'm trying to enjoy my birthday, and you know, this all comes out. I'm like, man, people just stop. Just stop the nonsense. They're not going to change the coach.
Well, I wanted to throw out there on the show, even though we talked on your birthday, but happy birthday, Mike.
Thanks.
Unfortunately, you had the news of this, but it's still cool that you go out there and you still post things on your birthday. Just, you know, like you said, the show must go on. But as far as getting rid of him, no, I can't see that right now. He's still fresh. He's still getting a system. The players are comfortable. They're getting used to him. And like you said, he's not the problem. I posted on Twitter, I did an example of Bednar for the Colorado Avalanche. The Avalanche had their worst season in franchise history. They were calling for his head. Everyone was calling for him to be fired, and they stuck with him. And look at that team now. He turned that team around. So it's like I said, it's not his fault. Give him a few more seasons. Let this team find their identity. Let them find their stride. Let the players that need to get that comfortableness and to actually start developing into those players they should be. And then we'll talk in two or three seasons if the Ducks are still in the same momentum. They're having the same issues. Then obviously it's a coaching problem and it's time to get rid of the coach. But as far as now, we should just keep him. Let it ride. Let's just let our players get more comfortable and let him lead the way.
Yeah, I agree 100%. He's not the issue. I know a lot of you are upset at Murray, and that's a whole other topic. We're getting towards the end of the show. We'll finish up with league news, but that might be for another show. So, yes, it's not the coach. Let's see what happens come trade deadline. Let's see if we do go into overdrive on the rebuild or not. That's the big thing. But
I was going to say, if you think all the Ducks fans are mad, the Vegas fans were pissed off when they fired Gallant. Like, it was just like WTF, like instant rage. And then they go and hire Peter DeBoer. Him and Gallant had issues from the playoffs about that controversial Game 7. If there was a major call and them giving up those three goals, and then one coach called the other coach a clown, and they're going back and forth. And then you just went and hired the enemy. And a lot of people in Vegas were just flipped out. Like, the comments, the fans, like, it was just... like, wow. Like, and I still don't understand that move. The Knights, they had a little problem with consistency, but they were just 1 point away from a wild card spot and only 3 points away from first in the Pacific. That was on the 15th right there. So it's just, that was a questionable move, and I still don't understand why they fired him. It just makes no sense, and a lot of fans were ticked. I think Vegas fans are more ticked off at that incident than Anaheim Ducks have been ticked off this season so far.
Yeah, it's crazy. I reached out to the guys over at Sin Bin Vegas and talked to them about this whole situation. And I asked them, too, the same thing on the day of my birthday, because I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, what is going on? And, the team came out and they had posted their stuff saying, oh, yeah, it's performance-based or whatever. And I'm like, okay, that just doesn't sound right. So I hit those guys up and through their contacts too that they talked to, that it was the same thing. They said, oh yeah, they're saying it's performance based. And I'm like, you guys aren't that far out of first and you're still battling it out for a playoff spot. I'm like, really? So I don't know if there's some kind of personality thing going on or whatever. I don't know. I just think that that's pretty crazy when you're only a few points out of first place in a division and then you get rid of the coach. I still don't understand it. Maybe something will come out later. I don't know. I'm just baffled by that one too, Eddie.
Yeah, that's crazy. I know McPhee's not the GM anymore. He's the president. They have a new GM over there. I totally forgot his name, but I don't know if that has anything to do with it, since the new GM didn't bring in Gallant originally, so he didn't really, you know, I don't know if there's personality issues. I don't know. It just seemed really odd, and I still don't understand why. And performance issues, it's just, I mean, you almost won a Stanley Cup your first season. You probably would have went farther last season if it wasn't for that controversial call and those three goals you gave up. But just, I don't know, it was weird. Those were one of those things where it's like, wow, that's some weird stuff going on in Vegas. Too much to, I guess, drinking, I guess, over there.
Well, you know, talking about weird stuff going on, let's talk about New Jersey, huh, Eddie? You got one firing and then two firing after the big Taylor Hall trade. Like, what the hell's going on in New Jersey?
Yeah, why wouldn't you fire your GM before trading Hall? Like, why fire him after? Like, are you mad about the return? Like, why if you had that intention to fire him, why not fire him prior to the Hall trade and bring in someone else? Like, it just,
and the coach too.
That was a mystery too. And I mean, yeah, it's warranted. I don't blame it. Like, you know, I have to give Ray Shiro some respect that he went out there and he gambled. And he tried to make that team, you know, better and try to make them, you know, like kind of expedite their rebuilding process. So I have to give him that. Like, you know, that was really a good job for that. But it unfortunately backfired in his face. And definitely, if you make moves like that, it's going to cost you your job. And it did. But that was just kind of crazy. They fired him like pretty much after the Hall trade.
Yeah, that was weird to me. And then the whole thing of getting ready to coach and then the GM at separate times. Like, why? Well, if you were going to do that, then why don't you just get rid of both of them? I mean, I don't understand. He makes a big trade, he gets rid of the coach, and now you're going to tell the GM, hey, you're out too? I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't want to work in New Jersey. That's all I can really say about that, Eddie.
I wouldn't want to be a fan of New Jersey right now. So I think they're in a far off boat in the Ducks right now. So that's bad over there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a crazy situation going on there. But going on.
Well, shoot.
Yeah, you want to cover Washington next?
Yeah, I'll go shoot over to Washington. I just wanted to say that Nick Backstrom re-signed a five-year, $46 million contract with the AAV of $9.2 million. It's a $25 million signing bonus that's spread out. I believe he negotiated this contract himself, too. I think that's a pretty good signing for the player that he is and players that all the stuff that he does. He's one of those players where he's worth that value. So it's good that, you know, I guess they got their, you know, they talked, they got that re-signed. Ovechkin passed Timo Solani, 684 all-time goal-scoring leader. He moved into 11th place with 686. It was cool that Solani posted a video for Ovi congratulating him, and the Caps posted that. So that was really good to see, and the good sportsmanship of Solani still being part of the hockey world and still, you know, showing everyone, you know, how much that, you know, he's such a cool guy. Ovechkin did also score a hat trick, and now he's tied at number 9 with 692 goals. So he's really moving up that list, and I really think he's going to catch that number 1 goal scoring list, because he's not slowing down at all.
No, he hasn't. You know, you're right. And if Backstrom's going to be there with him for a while, I mean, that team is just going to keep on competing and keep on scoring goals. So, I mean, hats off to them. And yeah, we'll talk about Tamu a little bit later, too, in the league news. But yeah, that was cool of him to do that, Eddie.
Yeah, and now some weird, I guess we're going to have some summer hockey, so those people that are bored in the summer. It's called Three Ice League. It's a new league founded by EJ Johnson, the son of goalie and executive Ed Johnson. Hall of Famer Craig Patrick is a partner. It's going to be a 3-on-3 full rink with 2 8-minute halves and running clocks. 8 teams, and will travel to different cities, a bracket-style tournament to crown a champ. It's going to be former pros and professional players. They already signed a TV deal with the U.S. and Canada. So this is going to be for the summer. So it's going to be interesting to see the players they get. I don't know if it's going to be kind of similar to what basketball have and they call their summer league. I know my buddy watches that a lot. So I don't know how many of the pro players that they get are what it's going to be. But at least if we have something to watch instead of just watching like highlights and reruns in the summer, we'll at least have something, especially when that August comes and it's just dead quiet. So, I mean, that should be, I guess, a little bit interesting. I do want to skip over before we get into the Edmonton news. Touch on the Colorado Avalanche. Mike, they had those new official stadium series jerseys released.
Ugly!
For the Avs and the Kings.
Ugly!
Holy crap. I'm just glad that LA released an uglier one because it was just like, I saw that Avs one and I was hoping when I saw it a few months ago that it was like, okay, maybe they're retweaking it. But no, it's just, I mean, A, for trying to do something out in the ordinary, but it's just, it wasn't executed that great. And I really want to shout out the Los Angeles Kings. Thank you so much for making a crappier looking jersey. Like, you guys are freaking awesome. Like, you guys just, it's really hard not to hate the Kings now, like with that crappy jersey with the Kovalchuk signing. You guys are becoming okay in my book.
That jersey, when I saw it, I was like, dude, this is worse than the Ducks All-Star jersey or the All-Star jerseys in general. I was like, that is bad. I was like, you're kidding, right? This is the jersey that they're gonna play in this game? I'm like, and that's what most of the comments were. The comments were that the jersey was terrible, and then everyone liked the silver helmet. They're like, ooh, it's like a Star Wars helmet, you know? It's like a prop from that movie or something like that, the helmet design that they had. I don't know, but I just thought it was funny. I agree with you. I'm like, I'm looking at these jerseys, and I'm like, really? I hope we get one, damn it, sometime at, like, Angel Stadium, but... if we do, I hope we at least design a decent one. Because I did like the one that we had when we played the Kings back in LA.
Oh, yeah, same here. I had no problem with that. And even the Kings one wasn't that bad either. It was decent looking.
Yes.
But the Ducks nailed it out of the park with that jersey. I liked that one a lot. And even the Stadium Series jerseys from the first Avalanche and Red Wings game, I liked that one. It wasn't that bad. I know a lot of people complained about it. I bought one when I went to that Stadium Series, and I liked it. And I did like Red Wings. Their style of jersey, too. It was pretty nice. So, like I said, I'm glad the Kings went that route. I mean, minus that silver Star Wars-looking helmet. I guess that's the only popularity you're going to have there. Like, if they want to sell the helmets. But I want to touch on Adrian Dater. He's going to be a guest on our show. He writes for Colorado Now Hockey. He does a lot of things with the Avalanche. There was a rumor about Henrik Lundqvist in the Avalanche, and he shot that down. It's not happening. I want to talk about the All-Star game coming up. I'm not a big fan of it, but I guess they're going to have the women compete, USA versus Canada, 3-on-3. This is something that I actually am a fan of. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing these ladies and the rivalry they have compete. I think that's going to be the highlight of the All-Star game, so I'll probably tune in to watch this. The skills competition, too, is going to include shooting the puck from the stands. I don't see anything going wrong with that at all. Mike, I don't know what you think about players shooting. I don't know if you're ever going to be in an All-Star game, would you want players shooting above your head?
I don't know, but you know that, like, they do that with golf at Angel Stadium. They have a thing where they're in the outfield and they hit the balls out onto the field. So, I mean, hey, whatever. I mean, if it works, you know, as long as they don't hit anybody in the head.
Oh, man. Well, they better have a silver helmet if they do. Well, okay. Well, the All-Star game, too, since Gallant got fired, Rick Tocchet from the Arizona Coyotes is going to replace him. So he's been replaced. The 2021 All-Star game will be hosted by the Florida Panthers. It'll be the second time that they're hosting an All-Star game, fourth time in Florida. That's it'll be happening. Tampa Bay had it twice before. Touch on the Sharks real quick. They're going to have, for each player that scores a goal, they're going to have their own individual goal song. I know, Mike, you mentioned, like, baseball, they have their own
music
song when they walk up. Yeah. I think this is kind of interesting. I like to see where they go with that, and maybe in the future, if other teams can try to take into that, maybe when the player scores their first goal, that they can play a different song, but it'd be kind of, you know, interesting to see what, you know, kind of music the players pick. And I feel bad too for the Washington Capitals fans. They're going to hear some Russian rap and repeat every time Ovechkin scores.
Yeah, that's the only thing. I mean, I'm open to it. I just wonder if they're going to put limits on what kind of songs they can play. Like, I mean, you know, can I go up there with my Dr. Dre music? You know, I mean, like, are they going to allow that? Or, like, you know, is it only going to be rock or what? Like, what's going to happen with that? So, I mean, I'm kind of interested to see how the song selection is going to go with that.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to see, too, you know, some jokesters on the team go and change the song.
Yes.
Like, put, like, I'm a Barbie Girl or something just to mess around.
Baby with Shark to Shark. Baby Shark to Shark.
Now we have, I guess, kind of the second biggest league news that's going around right now. I'll go ahead and read what happened, and you, Mike, you can go ahead and talk about the players' responses, and we'll just interject from there. Zach Kassian was suspended 2 games for fighting Flames' Matt Tkachuk. Tkachuk delivered 2 blindside hits. He went out of his way and out of his lane to go and deliver these hits. I personally think they were clean hits. A lot of people were saying borderline charging. I thought they were good, clean hits. But, you know, after the second hit, Kassian went and just started dropping the gloves and was hitting Tkachuk. Tkachuk didn't respond. He didn't want to fight. So Kassian gets suspended for the 2 games. How I think about this... Oh, yeah, one more thing, too. George Perreault stepped in, talked to both teams. He warned both teams, and apparently him and someone else from the players, Department of Player Safety are going to be present during this game. Like it's going to matter if he's in the stands. Like, they're going to be afraid.
Okay, but George.
I know, like, man. But I think Tkachuk, the way he plays... You're going to go and run someone over twice like that, 2 blindside hits, and you're going out of your way. Like, you're taking yourself away from the position you're supposed to be at just to go and take this hit and take a run at a guy. Be expecting to get hit back. When I played in checking leagues, every time I took runs like that at people, I expected my ass to get kicked or someone to drop their gloves or someone to fight me. And you know what? When they did and they wanted to fight me, I didn't just back down and turtle and just expect that. No, I answered the bell. And I think the way Tkachuk plays and he goes around just trying to run everybody over when it comes down to answer the bell, he just kind of turtles and he makes himself look bad. I don't agree with the suspension at all. And I definitely don't agree that there should have been a charging call. But if you're going to go and take multiple runs like that in a row to the same player, be expecting, and you should have an obligation to answer that call. And go ahead and start reading how the players' response, Mike, because a lot of the players came out there, and especially one of our favorite players went out there and said something.
Oh, yeah. And I talked to him offline about this, and you guys are going to like this one. But, yeah, so all of a sudden all the players started jumping in on social media about this. You had Scotty Upshaw said, for those of you who haven't played the game, coming down from your wing to hit a vulnerable guy on a wraparound is as dirty as it gets, such as below, which he's referring to the video. I know because I've done it lots. I deserved a punch in the face too. And that's what you were talking about, Eddie, is, hey, if you're going to go give that hit, then guess what? You better look over your back because someone's going to check you or try to fight you. Grant Fear weighed in on it too, and he said, hi AJ, I think it's an overreach by the league. I still think the game is safer when the players police the players, which is what I think too. I also think on this a little bit that the refs let it get out of hand because he didn't just make one hit, he made 2 hits, and the refs didn't do anything. If the refs would have blown the play dead and called a penalty on the first one, maybe even the second one, we wouldn't even be talking about this, but the refs didn't do anything. They're to blame, honestly, to me, for this whole thing. You know, they're not going to get fined or suspended by player safety, but they let it get out of hand. And then the best, like you said, was Tame Solani. He went on there and he said that, quote, Kassian will face NHL hearing for protecting himself from 2 dangerous hits. George Perreault's not right. And I laughed because he tagged the NHL Twitter and he tagged George Perreault, which George Perreault hasn't posted anything on Twitter in a while. I mean, maybe he goes on there and he lurks like some people do on Twitter, but I just thought it was funny that Temu tagged the league and him in that. I thought that was hilarious. So I hit up Temu as soon as I saw him post that, and I was like, you know, just making some comments about the player safety and inconsistency. And I'm like, I just basically told him, here we go again. And he told me, quote, it's a fucking joke and that it makes him sick. And I just started laughing when he and I were talking about it. He's just pissed off. It's just ridiculous. And I mean, he feels the same way. I mean, it's like when him and Kariya were getting hit by someone. You had Stu Grimson and Todd Ewan that went and defended them, right? And so that players wouldn't take cheap shots on star players. You had Marty McSorley on the Kings protecting Wayne Gretzky. You had things like that. So sometimes people, I look at this and they go, you shouldn't have any of that in the league. Okay, well then don't have those penalties then. Don't allow them at all. Just kick the player out. Don't even make it an offense. Just say, you know what? No, it's a major. You're out of the game. Or enforce the rules as it is and give the guy the penalty, which that's the problem here. The refs didn't do anything, Eddie. And so what is Cassian supposed to do? Let Tkachuk just keep taking runs at him? No, I'm with Cassian 100%. I mean, yeah, he does some stuff too on the ice, obviously. But if someone takes a run at me at the head twice, when it's not even, I don't even have the puck or anything, and they're just taking runs at me, dude, you're going to get it. I mean, I'm going to come after you. I mean, period. I thought that was BS by Tkachuk, and I was laughing. I thought it was so funny when he fell down the ice and wasn't getting back up to defend himself. I mean, you asked for it, dude. You did, and you didn't expect him to come kick your ass, and he did kick your ass. But, he didn't make one play, Eddie. He made two cheap shots.
And then he tries to justify, I don't have the exact quotes, but he's talking about how he's not going to let himself get taken out of the game for a player like Cassian. And then Cassian made comments back that I can't wait to get back. Cassian's first game back from suspension is when they play the Flames again. So that should be fun. And then I just thought of ridiculous Perro saying, well, I'm going to make sure I'm present. Like, okay, dude, like, I think a lot of people really think you're a joke and how you're running the Department of Player Safety, which I accidentally misspelled it and put dips. But I think that's the most appropriate way to describe them. It's just a big joke. They make so many questionable suspensions, and then other things you see that, okay, this guy was suspended for it, but then another guy doesn't get suspended. And then him just going out and saying that he's going to be there to make sure, like, dude, let them police each other. The only reason why you had a career in the NHL is because there was a physicality there, and they needed you to be that enforcer to police that situation. You can't just have it left up to the refs, and it's not like an old school mentality at all. It's a hockey mentality. This is how the game is supposed to be played. Like, why are you trying to just keep watering it down? If you really don't like hitting that much, get the hell out and watch something else. Don't watch hockey. Don't watch football. Go watch baseball, or you might get upset because they're hitting the ball too hard with the bat. I don't know. The game is more efficient, and it works out better when the players police each other. You're not going to have players like, Tkachuk going and running over everyone knowing that, okay, he's not going to have to answer, the bell for everything he's doing. I'm not saying go and start throwing these headshots, because that's obviously something totally different. I'm not saying go extend your knee and blow out someone's knee, but no, just keep playing that hard physical game of hockey and let the players police each other. And so you don't have, and Tkachuk's no angel at all. He's had issues with lots of teams, with the Avalanche last playoffs, him and Doughty keep going at it back and forth. He's just one of these guys that likes to go and instigate and tries to be a pest around. And but in times to answer the call, he doesn't really want to do it, especially when Cassian right there. Like, dude, you already took two runs at him. I mean, drop your gloves and go after him. Like, do you want Cassian to start going after, your top players and start taking them out? Like, I mean, it's just, there has to be some kind of policing there. And George Perreault kind of just made it worse, I think, by what he did. Look what happened, too, with Gabranson and Hathaway. Once they got in the ice, once they fought, that was it. You didn't see Hathaway go take runs at Gabranson again. You didn't see Gabranson go vice versa. When they play each other again, that's it. They already fought. It's done is done. What happened, it's over. They're going to move on. And I don't really think it's going to make a difference. George Perreault is going to be there or not. Like, I don't know. It's just, maybe he might get really angry. More of his mustache might fall off or something. But it's just these players, there's some kind of ice justice that needs to happen. There's some kind of policing. So, if it takes for them to just drop the gloves in the first period and that's it, and then it's over with, okay, well, then so be it. They can move on and they can go play. Good luck to both of them.
Yeah, I mean, and Perreault, of all people, should know that. Like you said, I talked about Stu Grimson and Todd Ewing. Well, Perreault, too. He was on the team. He protected Temu. I mean, hello. He understood that. And the same thing, someone did something, like you said, it's this mutual respect thing, this understanding in the sport, because people that don't know the sport of hockey will see fights and they're like, oh, they just go and they fight all the time. Not necessarily. Yeah, there are some teams that hate each other and they'll go at it. We've seen that. Like obviously the Ducks and the Kings, the Flames and the Oilers, things like that. You've seen games and they're just all out brawls and teams go nuts and fight because they hate each other. But most of the time, fighting is either to energize a team to try and get them back into it, or it's to make somebody answer for, you know, a questionable hit. Or
spitting,
or maybe the guys fought one time and they just at the face off, you see them, they talk, hey, you want to go again? Okay, let's go again. And they do it, and then that's it. It's over. Like you said, they resolve it and then they move along. And so that's kind of the unfortunate thing with this is I just thought it went too far. And I just think that if you're going to send the message that, well, he can just run around and hit people, and now if someone hits him, they're going to get suspended. No, man, it shouldn't have been that way. Kachuk is the one that should have got suspended and or fined. Cassian, you know, I don't agree with just him getting it. It's either Kachuk or both of them.
And it's just going to cause more problems because, okay, if Perros is, you know, making his presence known and he makes the refs feel like, oh, if Cassian does anything, they have to eject Cassian. Okay, well, now you're going to have another player pissed off that incident happened, that Kachuk just got away with that. So now they're going to go after their top players. Like, right. Okay, well, if you want to take runs at, you know, our player and we can't respond, you can answer the bell, and you're not going to drop the gloves and answer for it, then we're going to start taking out some other players. And that's when it gets nasty, and that's when things that I don't agree with happen, and that's when things get crossed the line and people don't really think straight because the emotions are high. It just let them play the game, let them figure it out. Obviously, if they do something really too overzealous or they just get out of hand crazy, then jump in there and start throwing your suspensions out there. Then you have something to talk about. But you're pretty much setting something that might happen and making it worse by saying you're going to be there and talking to both teams and both players. It's just like, no, they are professional hockey players, grown adults, just like as you were at that one time when you played. Let them figure it out, and it'll be done. Once they figure that out, once they get it out of their system, all they're going to focus on is getting those 2 points.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, what is Perros going to say? Hey, guys, don't fight. I mean, really? How hypocritical is that for him to say that? I mean, come on.
I think too, he tries to go overboard because he's trying to prove to the league that, I don't know. I know he's a really educated guy. He's really smart. I just don't think he's doing a great enough job or doing a good job at the role he has. And obviously, there's a lot of players, and not just the three players that we named off already, with the exceptions of like players like Carcello. There's a bunch of other players that weigh in and are questioning the moves that they make. So it's not just, you know, the three quotes that we have, or me and Mike myself, just constantly, you know, complaining about and critiquing them. But it's just players around the league that just had enough. Matt Perreault from Winnipeg, too, recently said that, you know, like, player safety my ass or something, and made some quotes about, since they're not going to protect him, he's going to go and protect himself. Yeah, I won't say this whole quote. I don't know it by quote, but he said something along the lines like that. It's just getting frustrating for these players. Like I said, they're professional hockey players. They grew up playing the same way, that same hard-hitting hockey. Yeah, it's a little bit faster now. Let them go and do what they need to do, and that's it, and it's over with. It's not gonna do anything else from there. If it goes from there, then take the necessary steps to kind of, you know, penalize them or punish them.
All I'm going to say is Andrew Caggiano. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. Wow. And we're not going into that. That's it. I'm going to end it with that, yep. Eddie. Okay. You all know about that one. We've gone off about that one. But, yeah, I'm with you, Eddie. It's just they got to fix this. Someone else needs to run that show over there. It's just not going right.
Oh, well, I'll say one more thing, Mike, and sorry I have to say this, but it's not just us being biased as Ducks fans. I know there's a few other people that listen to the show for the league news part, so I appreciate that, really appreciate that. But when I jumped on Twitter and social media about Andrew Caggiano and I saw Kings fans defending Caggiano, saying that it shouldn't be a suspension, that's when you know something's wrong.
Exactly.
A team that's supposed to hate each other over here defending Caggiano. I didn't really see anyone besides a few trolls saying that Caggiano should be suspended, but a lot of Kings fans were siding with Caggiano too, and that's just like, wow, okay, that should say something right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I bring up Caggiano because, yeah, a lot of our fans are Ducks, or listeners are mostly Ducks fans, but you're right. I mean, I'm talking about situations league-wide. I just bring that one up because that's the one that we all obviously are the most personalized with, you know, being that that's the team that we pretty much follow. So Yeah, it's frustrating. You know, I don't know. I'm going to go hit a punching bag right now or take a shot or something and maybe calm myself down.
I know, a shot sounds yeah, good.
Calm myself down because Perilous gets me worked up. But all right, so this was like a longer show. Obviously, we're on the break. We had to catch up with a bunch of stuff going on. We hope you enjoyed it. I do want to give a shout out as I wrap up the show. We had two more Patreons join, Jim Dixon and Cameron Land. If you want to join, you go on patreon.com/ducksandpucks, and it's Patreon, patreon.com. We give away game tickets on there. You get a shout out on the show if you sign up, as we just mentioned right now. You can get some t-shirts from us and hats and whatnot, depending on how much you sign up for. And we also give away a $200 gift card from Cool Hockey. You can go get, we hope, a Ducks jersey, but you can go get any kind of jersey you want. It doesn't have to be a Ducks jersey. So if there's some other player you like or some other team you like, you can do that as well. We give those away monthly. So look for that and sign up. Another thing, finally, our t-shirts and sweatshirts are here, the Ducks and Pucks logoed ones. We had the hats out there. They're still in stock. You can get some. Most of them are gone, but the shirts and sweatshirts are finally there. Those of you that ordered, thank you. They're coming. You can go to bit.ly/dnpgear, and it's on there. DNP gear is in capitalized, so just remember that. DNP gear, all capitals, E-A-R, lowercase, to go on there and sign on, and you can get that as well. So with that, we'll wrap up the show, and we'll see what happens when the Ducks come out of the All-Star and the league break. And thanks for listening. Let's go, Ducks.